Recording.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to today's UPC meeting. It's the 17th of April, 2019 here in Murray. Let's start out by going around the table. Everybody introduce yourself for the record, starting with Steve.
Steve Garside, Layton City.
Ron Wayne, Top Prosecution Counsel.
Marilyn Jasperson, Prosecution Counsel.
Bernice Jones, Prosecution Counsel.
Bob Church, Prosecution Counsel.
Will Carlson, on behalf of Simgill, Salt Lake County, VA.
Ed Montgomery, South Jordan.
Chan Ferris, Morgan County.
Stephen Foote, Duchesne County.
Scott Sweat, Wasatch County.
And Robert Coson, St. George City.
And I'm Barry Huntington, Garfield County.
And we were just joined by...
Hi.
It's okay.
Yvette Rodier from West Valley City.
Thanks for coming. All right, minutes from January 11th, 2019 meeting.
Looking for a motion to approve, change, modify, questions?
Motion to approve.
Got a motion by Mr. Foote. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Well.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Review of action items?
Yes, thank you. So in the now approved minutes, there were some things that were highlighted that we're going to follow up on. The first one is UPC's law clerk. Janice McConnison in the Justice Division, Dave Carlson, prior to his illness, allowed us, offered one of their law clerks for us to use. He is dedicated to UPC, but he's not, it's not like he's our full-time law clerk, which has been awesome because the AG's office is paying the salary for the law clerk that we're able to use, and so it's a great service that we're using. His name is Trajan Evans. He will be at a spring conference helping us out tomorrow, so I'll be sure and introduce you to him. And with him, we will get back to updating our webpage with the case summaries and other things and just bring it back up to speed and up to date. The other outstanding item is we had talked about the non-timely payment of registration fees. Marilyn followed up on that. And so you can see where we're at. Our biggest offender is last year from spring. We still have, habit pay, yeah. So last year's spring attendees we still have quite a few that have not paid. The best one, fall, everyone has since paid. So we will continue to work on that. We didn't provide names of offices and individuals, and we still don't have that with us. If anybody on the council would like that, we can provide that to you. But as of today and going forward, we're still just working with either the elected or the chief prosecutor in those offices to collect those outstanding fees.
If it's in one of us, we would most certainly want to.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
If you want to know, call me.
Okay. I want to know.
Okay. we talked about, credit card. credit card payment. This is what we found out, is that we can accept payment for our registration fees by credit card. CCJJ uses Eventbrite. Some of you may be familiar with that. I've seen it used at other conferences. The thing with Eventbrite is they charge a 0.025% fee per participant. So the way that works out is for a $75 registration, we would only get $73.16 back, which we figured we had about 655 registrants at our conferences in 2018. That would be a loss to UPC of $1,230 unless we increase the registration fee as we discussed last time. We tabled that and some of the other financial discussions until this meeting, but that was with the thought that we were going to be able to do some kind of a council retreat right about this time, which did not work out. So as you'll see, and if you've gone through, I'm suggesting that we really don't, if the council wants to make a decision on this one issue right now, that's fine. Or I'm just suggesting that when we do our council retreat, which will be the next item that I get to in just a minute, that we save that discussion until fall. But just be aware that we do have the option of going with a credit card, but there is that small fee that either we would have to absorb or we would need to pass on to our registrants via a small increase on our registration fees.
So you didn't negotiate any sky miles with the credit cards?
I know. Yeah.
Seriously.
I know, right?
So, I mean, so how big of a deal would it be, even if we did adjust our fees, is that we still pass that along to the credit card users?
With
right.
a card, you
right.
get this much.
Yeah. Right, if all we did was...
charge a convenience fee.
Exactly. is, you know, not taking into account the other reasons that we talked about and we'll talk about for raising registration fees. If we do it just simply to allow for credit card payment, then we would suggest we raise our fee to $80 to cover that fee.
But I'm still thinking, though, that, I mean, those that use the credit card should pay for the use of it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry, Steve. I misunderstand. So if you choose to pay by credit card, you pay the
$79.
Yeah, or whatever.
Whatever it is.
Yeah,
and I, but I don't know if that's an administrative nightmare, if it's not worth the cost, but, you know, we all...
I don't know. Ron,
prefer user,
yeah.
So,
user fees as opposed
to... So are you saying those that pay the pay registration with a credit card would be charged the $80 and those not would be $75?
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying.
Or the amount, the $77.
That would really be hard to
it might take more time to track than it's worth.
Okay.
So wouldn't you're talking about using Eventbrite, right? To go through that process, wouldn't they simply be able to add on their convenience fee as a fee added on our registration? So we're not really keeping track of that. They're keeping the money that they get to that convenience fee.
Which we lose.
Yeah, we lose.
Right, but you charge $75 and to use their services, a convenience fee we add on is $2 or whatever it may be. And that's just the thought is you just simply add a fee to those who use that service. So fees, registration through Maryland, $75. Use Eventbrite, just set up at $77, which covers that. Whatever fee that is, would there really be any work on your part?
If they registered online,
there would be a work on my part because the registration would go strictly through Eventbrite, and then they would give me a printout.
I just want to make sure that I understand what you're saying. So we just charge a $75, and the user knows that Eventbrite will really charge not only the $75, but then a user fee on top of that. So we're not the ones saying, you know, you really are paying $77 and whatever change.
Because what happens is Eventbrite's going to... If you have Eventbrite new registration on some things, they're going to take the money. They're going to take the charge, whatever charge it may be, whatever charge we tell them for it to be. That's what they're going to do. They're going to send us a list of registrants, and they're going to have... they're going to take the money. They're going to hold their money out, and then just give us what's left over. Right.
Correct.
So we have two. If we go with Eventbrite, because CJC does strictly through Eventbrite, they don't have a commerce management data system like we do.
Okay.
So if people were to register just through the UPC, you know, like they do now, that $75. If they go through Eventbrite, I guess that would be the $80. Okay. So how to marry those two together is still something we are going to have to work out. That I'm not sure we can do that, but just to make it clean, it would be better just to either leave it at 75 or go to the 80, and not force people to go through Eventbrite.
Sure.
But that's something that I still have to.
Just a side note on that: if we go through Eventbrite, get them into our system so that they can, you know, get CLE and everything. We'd have to, everybody that registered with Eventbrite and pays their fee, we'd have to manually register them into the system unless we told them to do both.
And that's what I'm not sure about,
there's not a process, Eventbrite doesn't have a process where they can register on our website or wherever we're doing it, and then when they click the payment by credit card, it goes to Eventbrite to pay.
There may be something like that I haven't looked at.
Yeah.
And if there is, that would be the way we
want to do it. And maybe it's not Eventbrite. Maybe it's simply like what the court uses, your call-in credit card number that's just a collector of fees and not really a registration process.
Yeah.
There's other services out there, I think, that'll do that.
The way the landscape looks right now is people really want to move towards the credit card. They would much rather do that. So
I think for us, we should probably look at who are the other providers out there. Eventbrite is a registration process.
Yes.
Maybe there are other providers out there who simply are a payment process. And maybe that's all we really want to do is say, okay, come register on our site because we already have the registration process. And then
we have a link
to the payment process to, you know, a third-party payer who's going to collect money. They'll collect their own fee and they give us our registration fee.
Part of the problem is who's approved to take credit cards for this government.
Well, right, and I mean, that would be something that we'd have to look at, so.
We'd have to do an RFP or a process of some sort.
Well.
But I can look at if we find some kind of connection to connect the two, if they pay on Eventbrite.
Right, well, like the courts you got to call in and pay by credit card, and they take a 3 or 4% fee or whatever it is from what you pay on there.
They must go through another system, because it's my understanding that going through the state as a government system, they really discourage that. That's why CJC and our, you know, our finance director has told us that they don't want to mess with that, because not only the fees but the liabilities and all of the things that dealing with a third party financial institution, they don't want it. That's a nightmare for them. So Eventbrite is kind of going around that, and they don't have to deal with it. They just give us a check, Eventbrite does, and then we submit it through the state. So as far as I'm concerned, we either go
$80.
What, just one fee and not have to worry about checks or whatnot.
Well, so here's what I would suggest. Like I said, is we're not looking for the council to decide to raise the fee now, or just reporting back what we did last time is, we'll look at C one more time, just so that we've got the questions that the council has raised. You know, what system is the court using, you know, for people when they pay their fees? And then and see if there's any other kind of just simple payment process that would be acceptable to basically AG Finance, since they're the ones that process this for us. And then we'll have all of that information available and when we have the council retreat and really need to vote on this decision.
Okay.
That's acceptable to everybody. Okay. Just so you know, that the training committee has recommended to the council that they increase registration fee anywhere from $100 to $125. I don't know, Steve, if you wanted to chime in, but that was just what the training committee had talked about. And then last of all, I did not attend the Graham appeal, as I indicated in my notes, and that was partly on the recommendation of the AG Council and just time in my schedule. So that's a recap of the items from the agenda that we were going to follow up on. Any questions then? Okay, I put council retreat, so please mark your calendars now. For September 9th and 10th, we'll be meeting in Kanab. So the 9th is a Monday, so that will require, you know, driving down Sunday afternoon, but we thought that I don't like to travel on Sunday myself. I've got other family and other things, but we thought that would be the least impactful on your schedules, you know, having to leave the office early. So what we're anticipating doing is having an evening event, you know, there on site or something, just a social get together, and then start first thing Monday morning and go through noonish or early afternoon on Tuesday, but down there in Kanab. If you are unable to attend, please designate a proxy, just because there are issues that we're going to want to vote on and discuss, and so we would like to have all of the votes from the council represented, so just put that on your calendar. Okay, that's all I had on that, Barry. Let me just
keep
plowing on. Okay. The financial report is at tab B. There's really nothing that I need to report on that has changed since then. The FY or the surcharge report, you can see there at tab C since our last meeting. And so as I've got in the agenda or the director's summary, so March of this year, our income was 45. Then going back February, and the reason I highlighted the green is that's the higher amount of the two. So you can see that the last 3 months compared to last year, we are down on the surcharge. issues to be aware as we move into the FY20 budget, and I hopefully will have these answers for you when I present the FY20 budget at our next council meeting in June, is the legislature approved the 2.5% COLA for AG employees, plus they gave the AG's office an additional $1.5 million to be dispersed among employees in a way that is yet to be determined. When I was talking to Craig Barlow, who is the Acting Justice Division Director, who expresses his apologies, couldn't be here this morning. Oh, as an aside, let me just let you know, is we haven't officially heard how Dave Carlson is doing, but who told us this yesterday? Somebody saw, I think it was Craig, ran into Dave at the grocery store, meaning that Dave is actually up and apparently out of the hospital, which the last I heard, he was still in, I don't know if it was an ICU, but the fact that he was seen in public in a grocery store, I think, is good news. So just passing that on, letting you know. We're just joined by Scott Stevenson. Welcome, Scott. There's a packet right there for you. And so when I saw this, the question was, is UPC employees? And Craig, and when I talked to Craig, he asked me to submit to him a written memo so that he could pass it on in writing to the finance people of the AG's office, so we would for sure get a response back to the question. So really what it comes down, and the memo's in your packet there, is will UPC receive from the AG's office, from that COLA that they received, money to cover the COLA increase for Ron and Marilyn, since they are merit employees of the AG's office, as opposed to those funds coming out of UPC's budget. And then the same thing, you know, for Marlise Tyson and I, is will that those funds come from that increase that was designated to the AG's office, or will we have to absorb that ourselves? There was also discussion in our AG division directors, section directors meeting, that the Attorney General's office receives money for employee incentive awards to the amount of $1,000 per attorney and $800 per support staff. And so I also asked that question, is will UPC be reimbursed from the allocation that the AG's office receives for any employee incentive awards that the council chooses to award in 2020? Or would that have to come from the UPC budget? So I'm hoping that I will get an answer to that here in the next couple of weeks, and I will report back on that at our June meeting when I present the 2020 budget. That's all I then have on the finances, unless anybody has any questions.
Do we need any motions on that?
No, not yet, since I haven't really prepared anything.
All right. Moving on to the training schedule.
Yeah, so Steve just asked me to report on this. We had Train the Trainer at March 18th through the 22nd down in Springdale. Yvette, do you mind if I ask you to maybe just tell us how it went? Ed was supposed to come at Montgomery. Unfortunately, at the last minute, he was unable to, but Yvette was able to join us. Oh, and Will, I'm sorry, Will, geez.
It's okay.
You've just been around for so long, Will.
I'm just everyone.
So, Will and Yvette, they're just curious from your perspective, what you thought, how it went.
You know, a week or two after the training ended, I did a presentation for the bar on criminal competency, and it totally changed how I approached it. I have a reputation for kind of putting on a show, and the training was so good because it helped me realize that there's a difference between entertaining and educating, and I really enjoyed it. It was great.
I thought it was excellent. I learned so much that I know the purpose is to train others, but I have found myself using it in trials already, so I just feel like I got a ton out of it, probably more than I deserved or was supposed to, but it was outstanding. It was a hard week, but I felt like I worked really hard, harder than maybe at work, but it was super, so thank you.
Yeah. So my thanks to the faculty. I should have included their names. Mm-hmm. Their names were in the last quarter, but you can see who we ended up training, and really, we had excellent students. We're going to be able to use really all of the students that we trained as faculty. We've already are using several of them. You'll see Lance Bastian tomorrow on the case law update, of course. You know, Will, Marlies, and Tyson have done this already, so Will, we're going to want to see your new improved skills.
Well, stay tuned.
Christine Scott from Utah County, Yvette, we're going to invite them to be on our domestic violence boot camp that we're doing in June. So we're just really pleased that it went as well. The faculty were awesome. We had some technical difficulties, to use the broad term, that we turned into training moments, but that didn't relieve the stress that we as the staff felt, but hopefully the students didn't see too much about that or see too much.
Everything
about
was on purpose. Everything
good.
Was intentional.
Good, that's exactly where we're supposed to be then. Let's see, spring conference, we start tomorrow. So there's just kind of a brief summary there of what's going to happen. We're excited about that. I think it will be a great conference. I put Wi-Fi fee in here because I guess it could have gone up under the budget fee as well, but this is an issue that the council does need to address, and probably sooner than later. Wi-Fi is one of the biggest costs that we are now having to pay at conferences. When we got the contract information, and as Marilyn was comparing what the costs were going to be this year as opposed to last year, it was several thousand dollars more just in Wi-Fi costs that they wanted to charge. But she was able to negotiate those fees down. But the fact remains is that we really do spend a lot of money on Wi-Fi. Is that a service that we want to continue to provide? Does the council want to continue to provide that? Or do we let people know, everybody has a smartphone and the data plan, and just say, y'all need to just plan on either downloading materials before you get there in case, you know, your data plan doesn't work. And if you're there and you want to, you know, check your office email, do whatever, that you use your data plan as opposed to us providing the Wi-Fi. You know, we say it's free to them, you know, that, but clearly it's not a free service.
How much of a cost is it now?
Marilyn?
It's about $8,007.
For spring conference.
For spring conference.
For 2 days.
A day and a half.
Yeah.
It's based on the number of students
that
we're going to have.
And they've actually thrown in a couple of
freebies. Right. I mean, we were able to you know, get some additional perks out of it. But it's like I said, it's for spring is our biggest. I mean, it's $6,000 to $8,000. You know, even for OOMPA, some of our smaller ones, it's still several hundred, if not, you know, over $1,000 just in Wi-Fi service.
Well, I mean, if the presenters are getting their information timely, which they generally do, I mean, there's no reason someone could have already downloaded it before they went down there.
Right.
Have access to it.
It's definitely something that you're going to want to give a heads up to.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if I show up with my laptop and find out there, there's no Wi-Fi, that's not going to be a
pleasant. Right. Yeah, I mean, we would start announcing it, we'd put in every bulletin. Yes, it would have to go out. And so you would just have to prepare for that.
Would there be an option if people came that they could purchase it from the hotel or something on their own?
That's a good question.
I mean, if they're in the hotel, you get
they're
it.
Staying right no, but at the conference, you're not going to get your free Wi-Fi from your hotel room in the conference room.
Yeah, that's...
At least I'll have to share it to you.
That's true.
Some hotels you can, but most of them you don't. The conference rooms are kind of a separate thing.
Yeah, I think the Sheraton is you can get it in your room, but...
Or in the lobby.
But in the conference room, it's not available.
St. George, the Dixie Center would be the same. It's a separate Wi-Fi system than the Hilton Garden, so...
Just wondering that on the individual.
Right, well, and that's something that we can look at, Ryan, and see.
And making sure that options available if they want it.
All right, are we ready to go to the UPA?
Well, I'm just wondering, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to continue to provide paid Wi-Fi, or do you want us to look at discontinuing that service and see, you know, cost savings at each of our conferences?
I get that it's expensive.
Or do you want me to find out if an individual can purchase their own?
Well, yeah, but I think
there's a certain expectation that's just been built in to modern society, and we can violate that expectation, but I don't know that it's a wise choice.
I think if we educate them and let them know that this is the eventuality, and again, they've got the materials already, my guess is that most of the Wi-Fi use probably isn't in reviewing the materials after the first hour.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they probably all know how much that cost either.
I would have never thought it was that much.
That's crazy.
I mean, are we over 10 grand a year in Wi-Fi costs alone?
Total?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's almost another conference.
Yeah.
We can almost do a whole other conference.
Did you say it was 8 grand for spring conference?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you, Will. In today's day and age, the expectation is when you show up to a conference, there's going to be Wi-Fi.
Right. And I had no idea it was that, but I don't think anyone has any idea.
No.
It's true.
I can note on that. The Wi-Fi is $3,500. The other IT stuff, you know, providing cables and screens and everything together with Wi-Fi adds up to the.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking it was just eight for the Wi-Fi service itself.
It's for all of the audio video stuff, including.
Oh, okay. I take that back.
So we cut Wi-Fi and we're still going to pay $5,000 then.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about that. Those audio video charges. Everybody's charging them now. Every hotel is giving it to an outside source. They charge what they do. The hotel charges everything on top of that, and then we pay.
So $3,500 is what we're paying.
And does that cost go up if you take Wi-Fi out? Are they giving you some kind of discount because you're doing it all?
Potentially. I don't know that, but I think it might because they're probably kind of just bundling it together. And
I would think the Wi-Fi is probably the least.
So the Wi-Fi is about what an individual would pay, about $10 a person.
Yeah.
What about adoption of pushing that into the fees for people to sign up? I mean, we talked about that with increasing other things, but we might be able to cover it that way.
Right.
If it's $10 a person, my office wouldn't have any problems increasing that $10 a person.
Well, we've already talked about increasing the cost of registration.
And I think if you let people know we're paying $3,500 for Wi-Fi, that's why the cost goes up. People would get that.
Well, the arrangement has been is they could charge us the $3,500 per day for us.
Or is it per day?
That's
per
a per
conference.
Day charge, but this one they gave us 2 days for that price.
Right.
So
yeah.
It could potentially be $7,000.
It could potentially be
$7,000. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it could be. Yeah. And not every place will give you the 2 days for the one price.
So the $3,500 is due to some masterful negotiation.
Right.
Awesome. Negotiation skills are more than
that. Her wrist is still sore from the arm wrestling.
Yeah.
She won.
Took him down.
Well, let's do this. Is because this issue kind of came to the forefront earlier this week, and we haven't had a chance to go back and look again in preparation for next year's 2020 budget and then for the council retreat. Is we'll take upon ourselves the assignment to go back and let's look and see what we have paid in terms of Wi-Fi costs for each of our conferences, let's say for the last 2 years. So we just have an idea of what we have paid, if those costs have increased, and then we can continue this discussion. But in light of, you know, the increases, we needed to bring this to your attention now and just let you know about it. Okay, so you got that, Marilyn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, legislative updates. The schedule is in your materials. In the past, we have always, not always, the last couple of years, we have had one or two of the attorneys from the AG's office just join us to talk about what the AG's office is doing, and you know, it's never been an issue. This year, I had Ed Spann. Some of you may know him. He used to be in Duchesne County. He's back UNA County. Thank you. That's what I meant. Is back at the AG's office. Is over the rapid DNA. He and Nate Mutter. And Ed has asked if the investigators can tag along and do a presentation on the rapid DNA machine after we do our legislative update. The reason that I bring this to the council's attention is that the toxicology lab, J. Henry, thank you, Crime Lab, is not a fan of it, is opposed to it. NDAA, you know, there was a policy paper that came out, I think over a year ago, saying that it's not validated, it's not supported, and so there's some opposition to rapid DNA and the technology. And so that's why I'm asking the council, is what are your thoughts on that? Do I tell the AG's office because it's not